Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Well, you are stuck with me. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Mr. John Simon is doing a bang-up job at Master Controls, as you might expect he would. And I am, believe me, guys, I'm well aware that we have done a lot of shows on the Roman Catholic Diocese in Buffalo, and we're going to get into some other things. I might do two topics at once, because basically there are two things that people are talking about, and one of them happens to be the Bishop of Buffalo, and the other one has to do with Mark Poloncarz and refugees, which we will get to as well presently. I started off with the Bishop Malone thing because, you know, I've been tracking this, even though I'm not Catholic, and it has some thoughts on where I see this situation going. And Father Mike is driving in God's country on News Radio 930 WBEN, and I'm sure he is safely doing so. Father Mike, what was your take on the bishop's effectiveness and the bishop's leadership before all the controversy started?
You know, before everything started to become challenging, and it just seemed like there was mishandling one after another or whatever it might be, things seemed to be going good. I was ordained a few years ago, so I was in seminary. When the bishop first arrived, he seemed to be well-received. And it just seems like that over the last couple of years, it's just become more and more of a challenge for him. And there's no book on how to handle the situation. And I think, as you had mentioned earlier, sometimes we become the victim of a circumstance.
Do you believe that the bishop was the victim of a larger tide of church history?
What do you mean?
In other words, is this basically a question of the wrong man in the wrong place at the wrong time?
Yeah, you know, it's the hurt and the sin that the church committed these horrific cover-ups and sins from decades ago, and it's the society we live in today is more aware of these things happening, not just in the church, but across society as a whole. And the church throughout history has always kind of been a lightning rod and has taken its punches. And, you know, I think the church needs to be held to the highest of standards. And this is sometimes how we get there.
Had you any or much interaction with Bishop Malone?
You know, occasionally he's done confirmations at parishes I've been assigned to. He ordained me when I was in seminary. You know, he would host the Christmas party at his residence. He would come out and visit the seminary. So there was interaction.
You know, there were a bunch of things that that took place which led me to believe that the bishop's days might be numbered in the Buffalo Diocese. And I think what really hit me over the head was the night he did not show up at the Catholic Charities dinner to greet donors to Catholic Charities. I know some very loyal Catholics who support the bishop, and they were greatly aggrieved that the bishop basically caved to protesters, and they were asking the question, well, how can this man lead if he can't go anywhere without protesters and if he's going to be intimidated by protesters?
You understand certainly the struggle of the faithful that wanted to show support, but I think there's a point there that if you're not able to effectively do your job or to be pastoral and visible like we need a bishop to be, then, you know, it might be a sign that it's time.
Well, the other thing that struck me like a sledgehammer over the head was when the movement to restore trust said it no longer had faith in the bishop, because I was in this studio just a few months ago when John Hurley was sitting next to Bishop Malone, and Bishop Malone, even after the MRT pulled its support from him, did not cast any aspersions on the agenda of MRT whatsoever.
Yeah, you know, I think with the MRT and the leadership there, I don't know why or what it was that kind of caused them to withdraw support. I think it was a good sign that Bishop Malone was willing to work with them. I think sometimes activist groups, and I hate to call the MRT an activist group because I think it's a great group of lay faithful who are working for the church and for the.
See, I've been told that it is a liberal wing of the church that has power in the MRT, and they are the social justice warriors, that faction of the Roman Catholic Church.
I don't like titles like liberal and conservative, but I think they might have just felt that. If maybe they had another agenda or an underlying agenda, if they didn't think it was going to be met, that could have been part of the reason for them withdrawing their support. But the new bishop, whoever that might be, might not want to talk to them at all. And I think that might be a challenge moving forward. We don't know what the next bishop or the next leadership is going to do.
Presuming you know the ins and outs as a Roman Catholic priest of the church better than I, has the trend in recent bishopric appointments been to appoint more, I know you don't like these terms, but liberal or conservative bishops?
I haven't found that. I know there's, you know, right now with Pope Francis as the Holy Father, there's a lot of people that think he's more on the liberal side, and so you have his people being made bishops, but it's like politics. They're across the board. They're liberal, they're conservative, they're in the middle, they're on the left, they're on the right. I don't find that the church is moving in any one particular direction.
Do you get the sense that the seminary, your alma mater, if you will, the seminary's days are numbered, that it is losing a lot more money than the revenue coming in?
I think it's important to note that, to my understanding, the seminary is a separate entity from the diocese. So, yes, the bishop sits on the board of directors for the seminary, but he does so with Catholic Health and other organizations as well. The seminary has a strong faculty that's committed, both of lay and clergy, for forming priests, deacons, and lay ministers. Father Cray, who's the new rector, is committed to providing a good vision for the seminary. So I think it'll be looked at differently by a new bishop, but I don't think it's an automatic that we could see it closed.
How about bankruptcy? To me, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
You know, not knowing what those conversations are like at the Chancery, at the Catholic Center, I can see it as a viable option. I think people, if they're educated on it, could understand the good that could come from it. So I think it's something that's possible, is certainly.
Now, as a Roman Catholic priest, obviously, I mean, I think it's safe to assume that you have conversations, you know, whether it's online or via telephone or in person, the old-fashioned ways, with your colleagues. Can you give us the bird's-eye view of how this resignation is being viewed by your colleagues?
I haven't spoken with anyone yet about the news that has been breaking over the last 24 hours, but, you know, there's a lot of guys, certainly in the presbyterate, that want to see Bishop Malone resign. There are guys that want to see him stay. There are guys that want to see him just change his course of action. So I think overall it's going to be met, if he does indeed resign tomorrow morning or tomorrow, that it'll be met with, okay, we need to move forward. What is the leadership of the diocese going to look like, and what do we do now, and how do we do it together?
All right. Father Mike, grateful for your time and your insight into the situation. Much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to Martin in West Seneca. Martin, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. The bishop is put in such a bad position. It's not like he created the problem, and he's been settled with it. What else can he do? I think he is going to retire, just to say, well, fine. You know, it's a mess. I'll step aside because I'm just a distraction. You can do what you want with the situation. He didn't create it, and the situation can be the same. And I just feel so sad for this man that he has to be, you know, saddled with this. I really do.
Well, he's got to be absolutely crestfallen, heartbroken. I know that he is still in Boston, and he might never even come back to Buffalo, New York. I mean, this is not a way you want to end your career.
I wouldn't blame him if he didn't come back. The way people are treating him, you know, he's just a man. He didn't create this problem. He has to deal with it. It's just like if somebody had an alcoholic in their family, and say it was an alcoholic man, and the wife kind of covered for him, you know? It's the same thing. And then blaming her for covering for him. But that's not the problem, you know? And I see the exact same thing happening here, and people are targeting this man unfairly, I believe.
Well, again, I suspect that at least part of this was political in nature, and I suspect that if the next bishop turns out to be a conservative, traditionalist Roman Catholic bishop, that that bishop, too, will be met with protests and howls of indignation, and is going to have the stomach for protesters, which I do not believe Bishop Malone did.
He's going to be targeted, and he's going to be targeted. He hasn't been involved at all. Watch how he's targeted from now on for not doing anything other than cutting the Catholic Church's throat. Watch.
Yep. Martin, thank you very much. I appreciate hearing from you. Hey, guys, as you listen to the show, I know that some of you are Catholic out. I know that some of you are scandaled out, are bishoped out, whatever. And, you know, look, I appreciate that. There is, however, also a contingent of the audience, and it is not insignificant, who is very Roman Catholic, and for whom this story has great significance. I mean, I'm not Roman Catholic, but this thing is like a Greek tragedy, the way it played out. And you think about the you know, the bishop coming into the situation, he did. You think about the work done by Charlie Speck of Channel 7, which I respect. I've also had a number of personal encounters with Bishop Malone, and as I've said many times, I have a great deal of personal fondness for Bishop Malone. And that is not going to fade because he basically, I think, was forced to resign either by the guy from Brooklyn or somebody else higher up in the church. My supposition is they came in, they looked at the revenue stream, they looked at certain places that might be losing money hand over fist. And then there was the issue of the, you know, the defection of Chabon, the defection of Father Richard, which was a huge, crushing, personal blow. It had to have been to Bishop Malone, to take somebody into your confidence, to basically have full trust in anybody, and to have that trust, whether Father Richard did the right thing or the wrong thing is immaterial. I'm viewing this from Bishop Malone's perspective. That had to be a crushing blow. Anytime somebody you have embraced and off of whom you have bounced ideas and shared strategy leaves you and basically says some not very nice things, of course it hurts you. And it hurts you not just on a professional level. It hurts you on a very personal level. And I would imagine that if that has happened to you, you might question your own judgment. Geez, am I really making sound decisions in terms of whom I can trust and who is a false friend? And it can really create some self-doubt. When the bishop did not go to the Catholic Charities dinner, I thought that was a mistake. I told the bishop I thought it was a mistake because in this day and age, you must be ready, willing, and able to handle protesters because they are a fact of life. And with respect to pedophilia, obviously, it's a very, very important issue because once somebody is victimized, their life is never the same. I know victims, and their lives will never be the same. And these are people who were very, very deeply affected. And I also do believe that there was a political component to the desire to remove Bishop Malone because he tended to be one of the more conservative bishops, if you will, and the church, like any other organization. There are conservative traditionalists within the Roman Catholic Church, and there are the people who believe that the Roman Catholic Church should be used as a tool and as a vehicle for social justice. And it is my feeling, and can I back this up with facts? No, I cannot. But it is my sense, it is my feeling, it is my intuition that if the next bishop who comes into Buffalo is a conservative traditionalist, that that bishop, they will find a reason to protest that bishop. They will find a way, or they will strategize on how to neuter that bishop if that bishop is not politically in sync with the liberal social justice wing of the church. It is 27 minutes after 4. We've got a lot of things to get into on News Radio 930 WBEN. I never thought I would talk as much in my life about the Roman Catholic Church as I have over the past 6 months. Your calls, and we're going to get into other stuff coming up, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And do you think we should have had a vote on whether or not Erie County welcomes refugees?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
There is a house in New
Orleans. Now, we miss Phil Kennedy, but in terms of taste in music, John Simon is the man. John Simon is, he's like raiding my iPod. Yeah, I still have an iPod. I'm old. It's 4:37 at News Radio 930 WBEN. David, of course, is now with the United States Army, which, as he has stated on many occasions, is his first love. That's where he wants to be. So you are stuck with me. And John Simon doing a great job in the background. I like him. Not that we don't like Phil. So we've got, if you're on hold to talk about the situation with the Diocese of Buffalo, stay on hold, because I'm going to do something that I do every now and again when there are two big topics, or what I think are big topics, that I want to do on the same day. And I'll let you call in on either one or both of the topics if you would like to do it. Now, the first topic, and the one we've been talking about since 3 o'clock, if you just get out of work at 4:30, is the situation with the Catholic Diocese of Buffalo. Bishop Malone is going to resign or take early retirement, whatever nomenclature you put on it. He's quitting, and that is going to happen tomorrow. Don't quite know if it's going to be a press release and a news conference, only a press release or only a news conference. I do not have those details. I would suspect there will probably be a news conference. And if there is a news conference, I'm pretty sure, I don't speak for the radio station, but my sense is it's a probability that we would carry it live, but don't quote me on that, if there is a news conference. And with the guy coming in to act as the apostolic administrator, knowing what you know about where you work or where you have worked in the past, anytime you've got new management coming in, what happens? What is your number one concern when a new manager comes in? It is your job. Are you going to have a job? So likewise, I would imagine that the people at the Catholic Center are probably freaking out a little bit, especially right before the holidays, wondering if they're going to have a job after the first of the year. Just like every time this radio station was bought and sold since I've been here as part of this large corporation since 1991. I have always wondered, am I still going to have a job when all is said and done? And so far, so good on that front. But I've seen a lot of people get clipped. I'm sure you've seen a lot of people get clipped. And, you know, it's all about amalgamation and capital in the, yes, I'm a student of Hume, in the private sector as well as in the religious sector. I am sure that the people who came in to analyze the Buffalo Diocese, one of the concerns had to have been the finances. I don't care whether you're running the electric company, your household budget, or a diocese. The finances are huge, and the bean counters are there. You simply cannot exist unless you have the finances to sustain your existence, okay? So I'm quite sure that an analysis was done of the income and the expenditures. Where are we taking in the money? Where are we losing the money? And I'm sure that the apostolic administrator will probably be making some changes which reflect those entities which are losing money for the church and those that are making revenue for the church. It's only natural. It's only normal in a situation like this. I am convinced that the Diocese of Buffalo is heading for bankruptcy. In terms of the bishop, Richard Malone, he's got to be disconsolate. I would imagine he's pretty depressed. I will tell you that, as you know, because you listened to the interviews, and they should still be up at WBEN.com, that while I am not Roman Catholic, I have a great deal of respect and love for Bishop Malone. We had a tremendous rapport. He was just one of those guys. There are people in this life, the minute you meet them, you know you like them, and you know they're all right. And that is the strong sense I got from Bishop Malone. I know that many of you disagree with that. Father Richard certainly wouldn't agree with that assessment, but that is my assessment of Bishop Malone. The truth be told, I was fond of the man. In the interviews I did with Bishop Malone, I tried to be fair, I tried to be circumspect, and I didn't ask puffball questions, yet I didn't ask the hard questions in a disrespectful way, because I believe that the Bishop of Buffalo is entitled to some respect. Just as if I'd had the chance to interview President Obama, I might have asked some tough questions, but it would have been done in a respectful way. That's something that I've learned over time will get you a lot farther than anything else. In terms of how the bishop handled the situation, I told the bishop, and I forget whether this was on air or off air, but that not attending the Catholic Charities dinner because of fear of protesters was not good. It wasn't a good look if you want to lead the diocese. If you've got to lead, you've got to be out in front. And if you're not in that first wave, if you will, and if you're not up to handling protesters, you cannot possibly lead the diocese. When the Movement to Restore Trust withdrew its support from the bishop, I thought it's got to be over for this man. Also, when Father Richard left, I thought, whoa, this is another stunning blow. And that had to hurt both on a professional and on a personal basis. But yes, the bishop is resigning or taking early retirement, however they phrase it. In many ways, I believe he got a bum deal. In many ways, I believe that he was a victim of forces greater than himself, which he exacerbated by not handling a crisis situation in the way in which a crisis situation should have been handled, in my opinion. For example, going to the dinner to recognize those who gave generously to Catholic Charities at the seminary. Going to that church in Clarence last Sunday to confirm young Catholics or whomever was being confirmed in Clarence on Sunday, because, you know, those little old ladies at that parish, they put a lot of time and energy into prepping the church for a visit by the bishop. And instead of going because of protesters, he chose not to. The one confusing element to it was the bishop getting to say mass at the Vatican. I kind of thought that was inconsistent with the stories that his resignation was imminent. And as it turns out, those of you who said that was probably a swan song for him, giving him that honor, you had the correct take on why the bishop was allowed to say mass at the Vatican. It was kind of like, in the vernacular, it sucks to be you, but we're going to let you say mass at the Vatican in recognition of what you've done for the church in your life. But at the same time, you cannot lead the Diocese of Buffalo because you're not leading the Diocese of Buffalo. And some of the examples of not attending certain events are examples of that. And again, I don't like to say that because, as I've said, I'm very fond of Bishop Richard Malone. And I do believe that some of this criticism of the bishop was political in nature. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. And we'll have more on this, but I just want to establish that you can call in on the other topic as well. Mark Poloncarz has announced that Erie County will welcome refugees. Governor Cuomo had previously announced that. Mark Poloncarz, the county executive, just announced that today. Should that have been put to a public referendum? Or did we already have our public referendum about a month ago? You knew what you were getting when you voted for Mark Poloncarz, so his announcement that refugees are welcome in Erie County should surprise absolutely no one. And the reason he made that announcement was in keeping with an executive order that was issued by President Trump, which we will get into as time allows in the next hour. Governor Cuomo and Mark Poloncarz are simply following the dictates of the executive order of President Trump vis-a-vis the resettlement of refugees in the United States and greater involvement of local governments and state governments in the resettlement process. There is nothing that Governor Cuomo did or that County Executive Poloncarz did that was breaking any law. They were simply abiding by a Trump executive order. Now, you might agree or disagree with rolling out the welcome mat for refugees. And my question would be, should it have been put to a vote? And what are your general thoughts on what Mark Poloncarz has done in terms of making Erie County a welcoming community, which, by the way, is a statement, and we'll get into this more later, but it is a statement that Erie County has the resources and the need for more refugees. But the phone number is 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to, is it Barina? Barina in Buffalo, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think the bishop is a straight-up down-the-middle Catholic. He's conservative on certain moral issues, and he certainly holds the line in terms of some important liberal, I guess you'd say, issues. So the immigration in the church, that's something we support. Refugees in the church, we welcome them. We've been a part of refugee resettlement for years. And I've seen him suffer from conservatives that he spoke pro-life to when he said refugees are a pro-life cause. So he was more than willing to stand up for the beliefs of the church.
But I am told that that was not enough for those on the left wing of the Catholic Church, that this that part of this whole thing to get him out was driven by politics, that he wasn't liberal enough. I mean, I only know what I'm told. I was not part of the MRT.
Right. Okay. The other thing is, as I said, immigration is an important thing in Catholic social teaching. So I do think that refugees are so well vetted that they have been a really, really good gift to the city of Buffalo. And for ever since World War II, the United States has been part of a very consistent process of welcoming refugees who have been vetted over years and who suffered greatly because of a well-documented fear or history of persecution.
Hold the line. We'll get more from you, and we're going to actually get more from an immigration attorney about what is a refugee according to the law coming up after 5 o'clock at News Radio 930 WBEN, because there's a difference between a refugee, asylum seeker, and illegal invader, or if you prefer, illegal immigrants. So on the other subject of refugees being welcomed to Erie County, I'll get into the story in just a moment, but let's get some raw audio, a montage of County Executive Mark Poloncarz talking about Erie County wanting more refugees.
It is my pleasure to be here with our partners in the various refugee resettlement communities across Western New York to officially state that we are a welcoming community, and we will continue to be in a community that receives refugees from across the world. Unfortunately, I look at what the president did as a further attempt to try to stop refugee resettlement into the United States. People are sitting there and they're making accusations against me and others with regards to those that are undocumented immigrants. Every individual who goes in this program is a legal immigrant.
That was it? That was the montage? All right, that was Mark Poloncarz speaking earlier today. And sorry, I'm just in a little bit of a pickle here. I wasn't expecting that to be such a short bit of audio. The article you can read at WBEN.com. Poloncarz reaffirms commitment to refugee resettlement. We will continue to be a community that receives G's. And our press conference this morning, Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz joined leaders of four local refugee resettlement agencies to make an announcement regarding a recent executive order As you just heard him say, it's my pleasure to be here with our partners in various refugee resettlement communities across Western New York to officially state that we are a welcoming community. The announcement comes in response to an executive order which goes back to September, which allows state and local officials to block refugee resettlement in their jurisdictions. So one of my questions would be, should Mark Poloncarz have acted to block refugee resettlement in Erie County? The order, the executive order, President Trump, requires governors and leaders of local communities to sign letters stating that they want to receive refugees. Poloncarz notes the number of refugees coming into Western New York has dropped fairly significantly as the federal government has limited the number of refugees allowed to enter the entire country. Of course, Mark Poloncarz is not a big fan of Donald Trump. Unfortunately, I look at what the president did as a further attempt to stop refugee resettlements in the United States. But since 2008, more than 13,500 refugees have been resettled in Erie County from more than 40 countries. In 2008, 961 came to Erie County, and about 2,000 in 2016. So let me just look here. Poloncarz notes, and this is interesting from a guy who tweets a lot of vitriol himself. Poloncarz noted that he and his office have received some vitriol from certain community members who aren't thrilled about the idea of opening more doors for refugees, and he wanted to set the record straight on that front. You know what's really weird about Poloncarz is he is the guy who said he was not in favor of the green light law, and he authorized Erie County's attorneys to assist Mickey Kearns when Mickey Kearns challenged the green light law. And then when Mickey Kearns's challenge was thrown out of court because the court decided that because he was not an individual victim, he had no legal standing to proceed with the case, Poloncarz called that a well-reasoned decision. So remember, before the election, he was against the green light law and said, okay, Mickey Kearns, I'll give you county resources to proceed with a lawsuit against the green light law. Poloncarz said it was basically no good for Erie County. But then, when the decision went the other way, it was a brilliant decision, or I'm sorry, a well-reasoned decision, according to the county executive. Now, coming up on the show, we're going to talk with somebody who knows what she's talking about, a local attorney who's going to tell us exactly what a refugee is according to the letter of the law, so you will have more information on which to base your opinion. And if you already have formed an opinion and you'd like to snag a line, you may do so now or wait till the news is wrapping up about 5 minutes after five or so. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And, of course, there is the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board 3930.